about we can actually experience a foretaste of heaven on earth today. And so today's topic is what happens when a believer dies. But before I start, I want to assure every believer in Christ that you don't have to be afraid of dying. Because when you die in Christ, you will go to be with the Lord immediately, straight away in paradise. Or the Bible mentioned, I believe, it is synonymous to paradise. It's called the Abraham's bosom. And you also don't go to a place called purgatory. And purgatory is a Roman Catholic version of the intermediate state. So it is sort of between heaven and hell, somewhere in the middle. So we don't go to that place because it doesn't exist. It is not a teaching of the Bible. And for your information, purgatory, they believe that the purgatory is the final purification place for the believers and before they go to heaven. And also, you don't go into soul sleep with no consciousness when you die. Soul sleep is primarily a teaching of the Jehovah's Witnesses and the Seventh-day Adventists. The Jehovah's Witnesses version of the soul sleep believes that when we die, or when you die, the soul ceases to exist, or basically go into annihilation mode. So your soul would just be destroyed, especially for the unbelievers. So therefore, there's really no point for the Jehovah's Witnesses to preach the gospel, because the unbelievers, when they die, the soul just disappear or annihilate it. And so Jehovah's Witnesses also believe at the final resurrections, they believe that the souls of believers will be recreated, which is, of course, a heresy. It doesn't teach in the Bible. So I will come to that again, but these are false teachings, and it is not taught in the Bible. So what does the Bible say when what will happen when a believer dies? And we will talk about these concepts today. So firstly, when a believer dies, he is absent from the body and be present with the Lord, the Bible says. Let us turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 6 to 8. Once again, and if you can, and follow with me. And it says, therefore, we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. And verse 7 says, for we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. The Apostle Paul tells us, as long as we are at home in the body, in our body right now, we are away from the Lord. And he said he would prefer to be away from his own body and at home with the Lord. Now think about that. In other words, while you are on earth, you are at home in your present body. Wherever you go, your body goes with you. You might switch houses, you might go and live in other states, but whenever you go, your body goes with you. There is your home. But when you go to heaven, you will have a new home. You will be at home with the Lord, and just as you were never always from your body in this life, away from your body in this life, so you will never be away from the Lord in the next life. This is what happens. This is what he means to be absent from the body, and it is to be present with the Lord. When Jesus was dying on the cross, you remember there are two thieves hanging on the cross with him, and one on the right and the other one on the left. one of the criminals hurled insults to Jesus Christ. He said to him, "Save yourself if you are Christ." But the other thief heard what the bad thief, you know, the thief who insulted Jesus, said to Jesus. And he said to Jesus, this good thief said, well, if there's such thing as good thief, okay, he said, "Lord, remember me when thou comest in thy kingdom." And Jesus answered him, now this is very important here, he said to him, "Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise." This is from Luke chapter 23, verse 43. Now notice the word "today," not later or, you know, a week later. He said, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." And then he added the word "with me." With whom? With Jesus Christ. And he said, "With me where?" Well, in paradise. There's a lot of what is said in this simple confession or phrase that Jesus Christ said to this thief. This place, paradise, is the first stage of heaven, if you allow me to use the phrase to describe paradise, or the intermediate stage or state. And as I said, the word paradise is also mentioned as Abraham's bosom. We shall mention that a little bit later. So there's no such thing as purgatory, where believers have to go through another form of purification before he goes to heaven. When a believer dies, he will go to a place called paradise. And again, as I mentioned, I will mention the place called Abraham's bosom, which is synonymous to paradise. And if you to look at Luke chapter 16, and there's a parable, there's a story about rich man and Lazarus. And the rich man went to hell, and he was tormented, not because he was rich, because of his absence of faith in God. And on the other hand, Lazarus went to Abraham's bosom because he had faith in God. And like Abraham, he had faith in God, therefore God counted him righteous. And the Bible calls this place where? What? Abraham's bosom, which I believe, again, is synonymous with paradise, where Jesus mentioned to the believing thief on the cross that he would go after he dies. And the author and pastor Colin Smith of Evangelical Free Church in America has written a wonderful book called Heaven, How I Got There. The whole book is written from the perspective of the thieves. So the quotation I'm going to give you is written from a perspective of a believing thief on the cross. So here's the quote. I quote, "Jesus has said, 'You will be with me.' And so I was Jesus' last companion." So speaking from a believing thief's perspective, I was Jesus' last companion on earth and his first companion in heaven. Think about that, what happened to me, the believing thief. I trusted Jesus Christ and went to heaven on the same day. I missed out on the entire Christian life. Here's what I discovered. Heaven does not depend on what you do for Christ, but on what he has done for you. Okay? And salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. When the moment came, I knew I was not alone. I was accompanied. I was carried. I was taken up. And I was welcomed by Jesus himself. Death is a dark place, but Jesus had already been through it, and he had made it a safe place for me." Unquote. And again, this is said in the perspective of a believing thief. So what happens when a believer dies? They will be absent from their body and be present with the Lord. In other words, they will be in paradise or Abraham's bosom. And you ask, what will happen to our bodies? Well, their bodies will go to rest or go to sleep, the Bible says. While the spirits of souls are alive with Christ, their bodies will sleep. The Bible often uses the word sleep to refer to those who have died in Christ. For example, when Jesus' friend Lazarus died, Jesus told his disciples in John 11:11, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. And his disciples replied, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. He can almost smell a smoke of contention there, of disagreement between Jesus and his disciples. And then we read this word of explanation that John added in verse 13. Howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought, the disciples thought, that he has spoken of taking the rest in sleep. And then another version's from the same verse goes like this, renders like this, John 11:13. It says, Jesus has spoken of his death, but they, the disciples, thought that he meant taking rest in sleep. So there seems to be a misunderstanding between, the disciples misunderstood what Jesus has said here, right here. Now the Greek word translated sleep here and elsewhere in the New Testament is a word that it can either mean to rest or simply to lie down. Why is this important to know? Because it is important to understand that when Jesus or elsewhere in the Bible talks about a believer who sleeps, it refers to their body and never their soul or spirit, as Jehovah's Witnesses suggest. While the Jehovah's Witnesses believe, or I just say JW, okay, because it's a mouthful word, Jehovah's Witnesses. And so JW, the believers will be resurrected, kind of, but unbelievers will just go into eternal soul sleep or soul annihilation. All right, so there's really no gospel to preach for the JWs, because anyway, if you are unbelievers, just disappear, be destroyed by God. And so this is extremely dangerous. And then again, the JWs believe in the resurrection of believers is so, so very different from the biblical teachings in two ways. Firstly, they don't believe that Jesus was physically and literally raised back from the dead. And so, but only spiritually, which is a heresy. And secondly, they believe that only 144,000 persons since the time of Jesus can ever go to heaven and receive spiritual bodies. But everyone else, which is, I think, sort of like a second-class believers, so they are second class. So the first class is the 144,000, and the rest of you, the rest of the people, not you, are the second class believers, and they will be given a fleshly body, which is another very messed up version of the doctrine of resurrection. And again, it is also a heresy. So I urge our young people to be very careful of them, because they are everywhere, not literally, but they're everywhere, teaching a false gospel and the doctrines of the devil. And so bear in mind that the Bible makes it very clear that when a believer dies, his body goes to rest, but his spirit is alive with Christ as he goes to paradise or Abraham's bosom. As Westminster Confession of Faith, chapter 32 states, I quote, the bodies of men after death return to dust and see corruption, but their souls, which neither die nor sleep, immediately return to God who gave them, where they behold the face of God in light and glory, waiting for the full redemption of their bodies, unquote. So what happened when a believer dies? He or she will go straight to be with Jesus in paradise or Abraham's bosom. While our bodies will sleep or rest in the grave, our spiritual souls are alive with Christ. Another question is, what happens between this intermediate state, paradise / Abraham's bosom, and a new heaven and new earth? I know there's a lot in between, okay? There's a lot in between. We don't have time to go through all of these in-between stuff, maybe in the subsequent sermons, but you want to know what happened, okay, in between paradise, Abraham's bosom, and a new heaven and new earth. But I will mention a few things, though, so don't worry. The Bible says that they will wait for their resurrection. And again, it used the word they, simply because it applies to those who have already died in Christ. You're still alive, so I refer to those people, they, because they die in Christ, they're now in paradise or Abraham's bosom. Okay? Now, to be honest with you, there isn't a whole lot of information given in the Bible about what we will do or what will happen in this so-called intermediate stage, all right, or paradise, Abraham's bosom. But then again, I will clarify that there's no such thing as purgatory, so don't worry, you will not go into purgatory to be purified or to be tormented of your sins before you go to heaven. Now, I want to present three possible scenarios about what will happen when a believer dies, and it really hinges on the question when you die, okay? And I know it's not a very exciting topic to talk about death on Sunday morning, but the first scenario is if you die today as a believer, as I said, you will go straight to be with the Lord in paradise, or Abraham, which bosom, which already have established. And the second scenario is not really about when you die or what happens. The second scenario is that if the Lord returns today and you are still alive and well, and you and the rest of the believers on earth will be caught up in a cloud, which is called rapture, and meet the Lord in the air. And your body will be changed, Apostle Paul says, or be transformed according to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 52. And you will receive a glorified body, and so your incorruptible will turn into incorruption, so that you will be able to enter into glory immediately. So what that means is that if Christ returns today, I tell you what, you don't have to die. You will straight go into glory straight away. All right. There have been two exceptions, though, and in the past. You know who they are? That they didn't die and go into glory straight away? The first one is definitely Enoch. He was taken up. And the second one was Elijah. And of course, some says, you know, according to Revelation, there will be two witnesses. And one is Elijah, definitely. The other one was able to change the water into blood. And some say that was Moses. But since Moses died, so it kind of like, is it Moses or Elijah, that kind of thing. But this is a topic for debate. Okay, but anyway, so definitely I believe Elijah and Enoch were the two people who did not die and was taken up to heaven immediately before their death. So that's the second scenario. This scenario doesn't really fall under what happened when you die, because when you don't die, when a rapture happens, you actually go to heaven to be with the Lord. Now, there's a third scenario, though, in which we have the least information. That is what happens to those who die believing during the seven-year tribulation. And so, now remember, but there will be a rapture, right? And then the church will be caught up. What happens to the people on earth who go through the 7 years tribulation? And so we have to assume that every one of them were non-believers when rapture happens, right? But what happens when those people during the 7-year tribulations. And in the book of Revelation, it tells us that in chapter 13, verse 15, it says, some of them will refuse to worship the image of the beast, and they will be killed. And we have to assume that these people got converted, believed during the 7-year tribulations, assuming probably at the latter half of 7 years, right? So the first 3.5 years and the second 3.5 years, and the second three and a half years will be a time of great persecutions and tribulation. And the Antichrist will make an image of the beast for people to worship, and some of them will refuse to worship. We have to assume that these people were believers, and they will be killed. So they die as believers. So what happened to their bodies? All right. Again, the Bible is silent, so I'm not going to go into that. It's because your guess will be as good as mine. So anyway, so we can talk about that next time. So for the sake of discussion today, we'll be focused on the first and second scenario. All right. Remember the first and second scenario? The first scenario being that if you die today, you'll be in paradise. The second scenario is that when you're still alive and rapture happens. Okay? So we'll concentrate on the second, first and the second scenario. Now, allow me to use the word first stage again to refer to where a believer will go when he dies before the second coming of Christ, which again is where? Paradise and Abraham's bosom. This is the intermediate stage that believers will go in. It's called intermediate stage because it's a temporary place of rest. But it is still called heaven because heaven is where God lives, right? If you get caught up to be with the Lord, and that's where the Lord is. If you die today, go to paradise, that's also to heaven. So what will we do there? What will they do there, before Christ comes back again? And this is an interesting passage. There's an interesting passage found in the book of Revelation that talks about this intermediate state. And we can have a glimpse of the activity that they will be engaging in. Now, if you want to turn with me to Revelation chapter 6, verse 9, 11, that would be very helpful because we're going to follow the passage and look at what the passage says. Revelation 6, verse 9 to 11. Now, firstly, the Bible says that there will be sort of like a pleading with God along with the martyrs. So there will be a prayer offers in this place. And so I will read to you, and then we will get a better idea what the Bible says about these people. And it says, when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God. Presumably these people were martyrs, died for their faith and for the testimony which they had. And they cried out with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And the white robes were given unto every one of them, and it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season, until their fellow servants and also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. Now obviously this, the judgment of the living and the dead and the judgment of the wicked has not happened yet. So these people were, well, I have to say, most likely in a place called paradise or bear Abraham's bosom. But these people are pleading with God, avengers. And then it's how long? And the words of comfort came to them and said, wait until more people gets killed and join you, all right, and die for their faith, and then I will avenge you. So this passage, of course, talks about believers who die for their faith, martyrs, we call them martyrs. And they are pleading with God to judge and avenge their blood. And know that these believers have died and gone to be with the Lord in paradise, and they still not have their final state yet. All right? And this is obvious to see because, as I said, Christ has not avenged them and has not judged the earth. The other ones Apostle Paul mentioned in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, the dead in Christ, all right? And he said, they shall rise first. They die before us in Christ, the dead in Christ, the martyrs. And then these people will rise before we which are alive, meaning, us before the rapture, right? We're still alive. Rapture happens. We will still be alive and get caught up in the cloud. Now, whether all believers will be there pleading with God to avenge the blood of those martyrs or not, I'm not too sure. But I believe it's the same place that we will go, because there's not a second place, all right, besides paradise in Abraham's bosom. So I think we'll all be in the same place. But the pleading part, since they're pleading with God to avenge their blood, these are martyrs. And how about the rest of the people? Because not all of them die as martyrs, right? So my guess is that all of us, most of us, will be joining with these martyrs, pleading with God to avenge their blood. Okay, again, the Bible is not very clear on that, but I believe that we will go to the same place, paradise, Abraham's bosom. Okay? Now, then another interesting question pops up. Do believers who went into this intermediate state have temporary bodies while resting in paradise or Abraham's bosom? Again, the Bible is silent. Okay? Now, we know that these people who went to paradise, right, have not received their glorified bodies yet, right? Because Paul says when rapture happens, the dead in Christ shall rise first. They will receive their glorified body. But what happened when they are in the paradise? Will they have a temporary bodies? You can say it's not important to know. But, you know, however, the Bible, in the parable of rich man and Lazarus, which we mentioned just now, may indicate that they may have some form of temporary bodies, since the rich man in hell could experience thirst and torment, meaning he might have a temporary body. So it was possible that Lazarus in paradise also had a temporary body. But that is just my guess, okay? And you can say they are just spirits and soul. They don't have a body. Anyway, we will find out when we get there ourselves. And unfortunately, no one has ever gone to paradise has come back to tell you exactly what happened or what it's like in paradise. Am I correct? So what will happen when a believer dies? He will go to paradise or Abraham's bosom. But what would they do there? As I said, they would be pleading with God, probably, you know, along with other martyrs who died before them. Secondly, I think they will get to meet with all the great men and women in history who die in Christ. Definitely, because it's only one place, one intermediate place called paradise / Abraham's bosom. What will we do there beside pleading with the martyrs? They will get to meet with all the great men and women in faith. Remember that poor guy, Lazarus, in paradise or Abraham's bosom, he was with Abraham. And now we can safely assume that Abraham was not the only one who was there, right? Because Jesus would be there, because he said to the believing thief, thou shalt be with me in paradise. So Jesus would be there. And the thief, the believing thief, would be there too. And of course, all the believing saints, Adam and Eve, would be there. And not just Abraham, but Isaac and Jacob, Moses, Joshua, Caleb, Rahab, Deborah, Samson, Gideon, and others, just to name a few. And so was Samuel, you know, and David, Solomon, other believing kings, and Job, Elijah, Isaiah, Ezekiel, Jeremiah, Daniel, Jonah, Micah, Zechariah, and more. And all the believing saints will be there. So all the Old Testament saints will be there. And I tell you, if any one of you goes before us, you will want to catch up with them, right? And you will ask the questions that you always wanted to ask. And can you imagine that if you go up to heaven, probably you want to talk to Adam and said, Father Adam, with all due respect, why did you take the forbidden fruit? All right, so you may ask him. Probably he'll be asked maybe 100 million times over because everybody will want to ask him the same question. And so anyway, it's eternity. So you don't have to worry about time or being bored. And can you imagine that Adam would have said, if you were in my shoes, you would have done the same thing. And and you ask, why is that? Then he would have said, maybe, would you allow your dear wife to die in loneliness, alone? And because Eve was the one who took the fruit, and then he passed it to Adam. And so anyway, that is my guess, and it's just my speculation. Not only that, don't forget to fellowship with all the great men and women throughout church history. And you want to work fellowship with people like Luther, Calvin, John Knox, Zwingli, John Owen. Some of you are enjoying reading John Owen. And Bunyan, Spurgeon, Arthur Pink, and Martin Lloyd-Jones, and others. Now, for exactly how long we will have in paradise before the second coming of Christ, I don't know. I've been thinking about that myself. And assuming that we will not be constrained by time, at least not like the way that we do on earth, how long will we have? How long is 10 years, 50 years, 100 years on earth to you who will be in paradise? I always thought about that question. If time is no longer a constraining factor, because in heaven, I suppose that there's no concept of time. You know, does that apply to paradise? Again, I don't know. Okay, so it's an interesting question. Maybe I'm going to think about it, and maybe we can have a good discussion. Okay. Now, so what would believers do when they go to paradise and waiting for their resurrection? Firstly, they will be pleading with God, with the martyrs, I believe. And my guess is that we will be joining with the martyrs, pleading with God. Secondly, I think they will be meeting with all the great men and women in history, both the Old Testament and the New Testament, and all the people from the church history who die in Christ. Now, when Christ returns, he will raise our bodies and bring us with him. Now, so far, we've been talking about the dead in Christ, all right? Or those who die before the rapture. They get to plead with God along with martyrs and meet with all the wonderful saints in history. But one day when the rapture occurs, which we do not know when, if anybody tells you when the rapture will exactly occur, stay away from the person. So you're probably a false teacher. We don't know when we will occur. We do not know when the Lord will return. And so one day when the rapture happens, the dead in Christ will be raised first. Again, the dead in Christ means those who died before us, all right? And then we which are alive remain, which is, I have to assume all of us here who are believers, most of us here are believers, will also be changed or transformed into incorruptible. Then again, turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 15, 17 with me. That would be helpful if you turn to that passage. It said, then we which are alive and remain, that is, we which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them, with them, the dead in Christ, in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. You say, how shall we, that is, we which are alive and remain, be caught up together with them, the dead in Christ? Well, there's a passage we did not read. I was tempted to give the livelihood three passages, but I thought it would be too much. But it will be actually quoting from 1 Corinthians 15, verse 52. Now, this is what will happen when the rapture occurs. 1 Corinthians 15, 52 says, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, how long does it take for you to twinkle? Not long, maybe half a second. In a twinkling of an eye, this will happen at the last trumpet, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. In other words, our bodies will be changed into incorruptible or become glorified. So the dead in Christ will be raised first because they were dead and their bodies went to rest. They will be raised first. And then when the trumpet sounds, we which are alive remain. Again, the believers who are still alive will meet them with the Lord in glory. We do not presume that Christ returns today. We do not have to go through death. And our body will be changed and glorified and meet the Lord in the air. And again, when will this occur? I don't know. And only God knows. Then what happens after the rapture? All right? So after the rapture, it's 7 years of tribulation. And it will begin. But here is where the debate comes in. Some people believe that rapture won't occur until the end of the first half of the Great Tribulation, which is the 3.5 years, according to Daniel chapter 9. And others believe that rapture won't occur after the entire 7 years of Great Tribulation, which is right at the end of the 7 years. That means that we all have to go through the terrible Great Tribulation, all right? And some of us will be killed, tortured, imprisoned, and then right at the end of the 7 years, we'll get raptured. Right. And there are some who deny the secret rapture or deny that there will be a secret rapture. They don't deny that the Christ is coming back again, but they deny there will be a secret rapture for the church. And they even say that the Great Tribulation is bad history. Happened in the past during the time of the persecution of the 10 emperors in the church history. But they again maintain that there will be the second coming of Christ, the resurrection of all believers, and the final judgment and the eternal kingdom. And we do not call them heretics because they simply have a different interpretation about the last days or the eschatology. Now, most of the Bible Presbyterians have always favored that there will be a rapture followed by the Great Tribulation. But one wonders what will the saints or the dead in Christ and which are alive be doing during the 7 years of tribulation, right? Now, if you put rapture in the first year of Great Tribulation, and that means the dead in Christ and we which will remain will be in the cloud, right? Meaning the Lord. But what will we do during the 7 years of tribulation? Is that just singing hymns and praising the Lord and fellowship with the saints? That is good. But some people actually put something in this during the 7 years. And you know what? The something is that is called the judgment seat of Christ. And Paul says, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10, and he says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in this body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. And this judgment seat of Christ is not a judgment for your worthiness, whether if you can go to heaven. No. It is a judgment of whether if you are worthy to receive rewards. So this is not a judgment of, well, you are bad, you have been bad, you go to hell instead of heaven. No, this is a judgment of believers. The Christ will say, thou good and faithful servants, now this is your reward. And some of them will be in shame and not receiving the rewards. That's what happens there. As many scholars believe that the judgment seat of Christ will occur again during the 7 year tribulations. He said there will be 100 million people appear before the judgment seat of Christ. But then again, time is probably not a concept anymore in paradise, I guess. So we can have all the time we want and to appear before the judgment seat of Christ. And they put this during the 7 years because there's really no time slot to slot this in the eschatological timeline. All right, because after the 7 years, there will be the millennial kingdom, if you believe the millennial kingdom there is, and then before the new heaven and new earth, there will be great white throne, right? So there's really no time for you to put the judgment seat of Christ except be in the 7 years, all right? Again, this is my speculation, and you may have different interpretation, different understanding, and that I think that's okay. So this is the area where good Christians can come together to have healthy debates or to agree to disagree. And if you hold on to a different view of eschatology or things pertaining to the end time, I'm sure that you are still welcome to Hope Church, all right, and you're still welcome to any Bible-believing church. I believe when it comes to eschatology, as one theologian said, I'm sure you have heard this before, in essentials or essential doctrines, unity. You must all have unity in the essential doctrines. In non-essentials, liberty. And in everything else, charity. And historically, eschatology is under the category of non-essentials. So don't argue with your brothers and sisters in Christ and it says, I believe in this and believe in that. You don't believe in this, you're a heretic, and then you go, you know, whatever. Don't do that, okay? So having said that, no matter what view you hold on to, it is important to believe that Jesus Christ is coming back physically, literally, and visibly, okay? So, and to judge the living and the dead, and there's a hope of resurrection and eternal life in heaven. And that is important to know. And so what will happen after the rapture, I believe there will be 7 years of tribulations, as I said, and then during that time, the judgment of seed of believers will occur. And after the 7 years, after the 7 years of great tribulations is the Armageddon. Or at the end of the 7 years, and then we heard something called Armageddon. And according to Jude 14, it is right at the Armageddon, or at the end of the Armageddon, because Armageddon is really the battle between the foolish men and God. And they think that people on earth, can you imagine the people on earth, the wicked people on earth, the unbelieving people on earth, could actually thought that the queen can fight God at the Armageddon. People will be gathered at the Valley of Megiddo, all right, in the northwestern part of Israel, and gathered in that valley. And the Bible says there will be 200 million armies gathered there. And they will be slaughtered, but they will be killed when Christ returns with all the saints from heaven. But why are they gathering there at the Megiddo in the first place? They're not only fighting against God, they want to destroy Israel. And when Christ returns with all the saints, Jesus Christ will deliver his people, the ethnic Israel, right? And then they will be destroyed. And we will come to that again next time, maybe in the future. We can discuss that in details. So in Jude 14, there's a wonderful, glorious picture that's painted there, right? Jude 14, there's only one chapter, so chapter 1, verse 14, okay? And it says, all the saints who were raised and got caught up in the rapture will come back physically, visibly, together with Christ from heaven. And how do I know? He said, behold, the Lord, the resurrected Jesus Christ, cometh with 10,000s of his saints. Okay, this is also the picture of what John saw in Revelation 19, verse 14. Now, if you can compare this verse, 19, 14, Revelation, with Jude 14, that will be helpful. They can do that yourself. Now, the word saints he referred to in Jude referred to all believers. All believers, the dead in Christ, and we which were remained, which went to heaven to meet Jesus Christ in the clouds, and went have gone through all the 7 years, and then now coming down with Jesus Christ, judging all the nations at the battle of Armageddon, and they will have a great victory. Okay, and so all the saints, I believe, is all the believers, and Some will say that probably with the angelic hosts as well. All the angels, the saints, with Jesus Christ riding the white horse, there will be a majestic sight. Okay? And so what happened after that? Paul says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 17, "Then which are alive and remain shall come up together with them in the clouds." And then all this happened. Right after that, they meet the Lord in the air, and they shall be with the Lord forever and ever. Now, where is this forever place? But ultimately, it is new heaven and new earth. Right? You can say paradise, Abraham's bosom, the judgment seat of Christ, and then millennial kingdom. But ultimately, it points all the way to the new heaven and new earth, forever, ever. All right, and that is heaven. Millennial kingdom is heaven. Paradise and Abraham's bosom is heaven too. Because where God lives and dwells is heaven. So if you die in Christ today, you'll be in heaven. Paradise / Abraham's bosom. So, and new heaven, new earth is heaven. Millennial kingdom is heaven. Right. So that is the end of ends. The new heaven and new earth. So that's what happens when a believer dies. And as a form of review, as a way to review, you can look at your outline and say, what will happen when a believer dies? They will be absent from the body, but be present with the Lord. They will be in paradise / Abraham's bosom. Their body will go to rest and sleep, and they will await for their resurrection. They will be pleading with God along with the martyrs, right? And they will meet with all the great men and women who die in Christ. They will be judged before the judgment seat of Christ. They will receive glorified body. And they will be with Christ forever and ever. Now, before I close, I want to quote to you a verse. And this verse, of course, is directed to some of our unbelieving friends here. And John chapter 11, verse 25, verse 26. Jesus said unto her, he said, "I am the resurrection and the life. And he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And in verse 26 says, "Whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die." And then Jesus closed with these words, "Believest thou this?" Basically he's saying, do you believe this? Do you believe that I am the resurrection and the life? And if you do, and you will have the hope of eternal life. And if Christ comes back today, your body will also be changed and transformed into incorruptible. But you say, well, how do I believe? Well, the simplest answer is turn to Romans chapter 10, verse 9. It says, if thou believe in your heart the Lord Jesus, and if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in the heart, believe with your heart that God has raised him from the dead, and thou shalt be saved. And this verse basically tells us two things. You have to believe who Jesus is, that he is the Son of God, the eternal Son of God, and also believe what he has done for you. So what did he do for you? He came to this world, became a man. So he took on the human body, yet still retained his full divinity. So he's fully man or fully God, or truly man and truly God. And he died for your sins on the cross of Calvary. And he said, if you believe in him, your sins will be forgiven, and the wrath of God will be taken away from you because it's been placed upon the Son of God. And you shall be saved, and you shall have a hope of eternal life. And so that's the gospel message. And so I hope you will come to the Lord today if you're still outside of his kingdom. And let us pray. Father in heaven, we want to thank you for your gracious and holy word. We thank you for the hope of eternal life. We thank you, Lord, for thy divine promises. We pray that you will instill in our hearts your joy, and peace from above, knowing that if we die today, we will be with thee in paradise. Also pray that you comfort our families for those who have lost their loved ones in recent years, and pray that you will give them hope and comfort and assurance that they will meet their loved ones in heaven. We also, once again, we pray for the our unbelieving friends in our midst. We pray that you will help them to come to know Jesus Christ as the Lord and personal Savior, believing that he is the Son of God who had died for their sins on the cross of Calvary. And pray that you will give them the faith to believe and renew their hearts so that they will be regenerated, so that they be able to come to know Jesus Christ as the Lord and personal Savior. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.